This Women's History Month, we are reflecting on the work of early childhood educators to find their voice and fight for better pay. The child care compensation movement largely took off in the 1970s. Many of those doing this grassroots work were women of colour, organising on the ground to find policy solutions. They had some victories, but 50 years later, millions of families are still struggling to secure affordable, quality care for their little ones. And early educators still make poverty-level wages and an average of $14 an hour. Our next guests say it's not time to lose hope as they inspire the next generation of feminists to keep up the fight for change. Clarissa Douthurd is Executive Director of Parent Voices Oakland. Clarissa, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
And Sophia Bracey Harris is co-founder of the Federation of Child Care Center of Alabama. She's retired now, but she's sharing her wisdom from decades of advocacy. Ms. Sophia, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
I'm going to start with you, Ms. Sophia. Childcare providers who work on the front lines have not always felt like they've had a voice to get funding or support for their educators and their families they serve. Looking back 40, 50 years ago, how did you even begin to empower these women to stand up for themselves?
It was built around a passion that came from actually the integration of schools, because these mothers and grandmothers and teachers and individuals working in their communities were passionate about finding ways to make sure that our children were protected, our children were cared for by individuals who loved them.
And Sophia, you went on to become an author and a MacArthur Genius Fellow, but people today might take for granted the things you've helped fight for. Under your leadership, you helped in key legislative wins over the years through grassroots campaigning to protect funding for families to get childcare subsidies. You also helped secure millions of dollars for childcare services in Alabama. How did all of this come to fruition? How did you do it?
I will say in as few words as I can that I was from a family of 10, and I was a caregiver. And then, of course, later in college, although I was going to be a social worker, and that was the first couple of years of my college life, but when I realized that, oh my gosh, this statistic's going to outdo me here, I switched over to early childhood education. And it turned out, I believe, it was a blessing from God. I was so struck by the events happening in Selma in January of 1971. And it was at that meeting those individuals decided, we must do something. And I had been invited by a friend who had supported us in our quest for a better education by integrating the way school in our community. And when I came and heard these individuals stand up and speak about their experiences and speak about what they were concerned about with their children and mothers not being able to get the kind of employment that they needed and who were going to care for the children. And coming from my background of growing up, all of it came together and I was fueled with a passion that lasted these years, 50 plus, and still today.
You know, it's a great point here to bring Clarissa in. So, Clarissa, you're with Parent Voices Oakland, and you joined when your son was a toddler. You're now the executive director. He's 16 now. I'm just wondering if you can tell us, because Parent Voices has gained a lot of organizing power here in California, and you've had some big wins under your belt. What are you most proud of?
Thank you. I am most proud of us bringing a joy, rigor, and discipline to the organizing work and really integrating a way of looking at childcare as an issue that incorporates racial justice, economic justice, as well as education, and really engaging in the electoral process to build power with a lot of parents who aren't traditionally looked at as organizers or leaders in the community, because parenting takes up an incredible amount of bandwidth, but to be able to support the leadership of parents the way I was nurtured and supported, to really utilize their voices, their networks, their knowledge and wisdom, is the thing I'm most proud of. I'm so proud of, you know, the wins are incredible and the process is really important.
Yeah, and one of your biggest accomplishments with Parent Voices Oakland was working on a 10-year campaign in Alameda County to get Measure C approved. It's a tax increase that provides more subsidized childcare and preschool for low-income children. There's even a documentary about this journey called Clarissa's Battle. And going forward, you say you would love it if hospitals would not only ask a mother after delivery if they have a car seat for their baby as they go home, but also ask, do you have a home? Do you have somewhere to go? Do you have housing? Just to make sure the basic needs are met. How do you go about making big changes like these happen?
Sure. I mean, I think that we organize and value persistence because this is ongoing work. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. This is an ongoing process to bring quality, accessible, affordable childcare and thriving wages for workers. Ultimately, this is an issue where you see an intersection of reproductive justice and health and family planning and how people are going to structure their lives around having children and families. And the compromises that we make, we meaning the government, society, everyone, the compromises that are made on the backs of Black and Brown, Indigenous, low-income women specifically, ultimately, and also the move to police and control their wages, their ability to work or get care for their children, that exploitation is something that is resonant across any issue area. The lack of mobility and the sense of hopelessness when your basic needs are not met, I think, is relatable to everyone.
And Ms. Sophia, what do you think people, activists today, can learn? What do we need to understand to actually make some change so that we're not facing down a childcare crisis like it feels like we are right now?
I believe the most powerful thing that we can learn is what often is pushed aside. We need to really revisit our history. We must learn what courage it took those foot soldiers to come across at Pettus Bridge, because it was not just about voting. It was for their children's future. It was learning of the courage that many took in the Jim Crow South that helped them to know that I have got to do this even though I'm a little afraid and afraid I might, in fact, lose my job. That all of these are examples. And I think when we think about what we want in creating a community and a world that's going to embody principles and values that our children can learn from, they must see examples of us, their parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and teachers all exhibiting those practices in our daily lives and in our daily walk.
Sophia Bracey Harris is co-founder of the Federation of Childcare Center of Alabama, and Clarissa Douthard is executive director of Parent Voices Oakland. Thank you to both of you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.